The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of The Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Friends, and welcome to our program, Afternoons with Mike. It is our privilege each and every day to be able to be here and to bring you a guest on my program here, Afternoons with Mike. Today, I've got Scott Boyd. And Scott, it's my first time to actually be able to sit and talk with him. Met him only yesterday for the very first time. So it's great to have you here, Scott. We'll find out about your life in this next hour and all the things that God has done. But first of all, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Mike. Great to be here.
It is wonderful to get to talk to people that would be just like Scott. I had mentioned to him that one of the things that I so enjoy getting to do is being a part of the community, being part of watching how God has brought together so many aspects of our community together in the faith community. And one of the privileges I have is to get to talk to people who are owners of businesses and kind of making that happen. And that's exactly what you do. So you own a real estate development company that sounds pretty vigorous and it keeps you busy, I'm sure, right?
It does. We've had the business, Mike, for 30 years. And my wife and I moved here in 1980 and about 10 years later started our own business.
Wow, that's great. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your growing up years, what your interests were, how you came to know the Lord.
So I grew up in the metropolis of Moline, Illinois, a river town in Illinois, about 150 miles from Chicago, southwest of Chicago. A family of six of us, four children. I'm the second of four children. And grew up, went to public school, grew up in the church, the Evangelical Covenant Church. It's a Midwest based denomination out of Chicago, primarily Swedish and Norwegian. I'm not sure I have a Swedish or Norwegian bone in my body, but a small denomination, maybe of say 800 churches in the upper Midwest. My wife and I actually met in Chicago at our only church school, North Park University in Chicago. A lot of people here in Florida have heard of Wheaton College, some of those schools up in the Chicago area, same athletic conference. It was a small enough school, Mike, that I could play ball there. I could play basketball there, but met Jennifer there, but grew up in the Covenant Church. Got to know the Lord when I was probably 11 or 12, went to church camp every summer, was very helpful in just understanding who the Lord is and what he would, you know, would mean to be part of my life, for me to be part of his kingdom. And I got to understand that at an early age in church, but even as much so attending church camps in the summer, and came to know the Lord at that time.
You know, that was a very common and regularly practiced event for a lot of kids that would have been in that day, going to camp and have that experience. And I'm not sure that's going on the same level in this day and age. And I know this last year, COVID has probably really changed those figures even still. But when you look back, those camp experiences were pretty special, weren't they?
They were for me and my siblings. There are, Mike, quite a few families in Central Florida that are blessed by some of the North Carolina camps that are Christian camps, Crest Ridge and Ridgecrest camps, many camps. But a number of our friends from First Baptist and the First Academy have been blessed by church camps as well. But a big role in a lot of families' lives.
Mm. And what happens there in those weeks are usually pretty impactful on a person's life when they look back at it, and maybe even more so than what they realize at the moment about how God does speak and really impress upon the heart of a young man or young woman that's attending one of those getaways like that. And it sounds like you came to know him personally, like you said, about 11 years old or so. So that's most of your memory life anyway has been about faith.
Right. And a lot of times, Mike, have known and loved so many pastors over the years, but a lot of times when a college age believer speaks into the life of someone in that, whatever age group, Mike, from 6 or 7 years old mm-hmm. up to older teenagers in high school, when you can listen to someone who has a personal relationship with Jesus that's closer to your age, sometimes it is more impactful, more meaningful, easier to understand. Maybe they talk your language a little bit better when you're a young person. And so I know that was helpful for me as well.
Now, you mentioned something that grabbed my heart. I love basketball. I grew up in Indiana, and so that's Hoosier hysteria.
Right.
And yet I was never able to play ball in school the way you were able to do. So you had to have played high school ball as well.
Did. Grew up playing probably like a lot of kids that were at least had some athletic gifts. Your favorite sport was whatever season it was at that time. So whether it was football, basketball, baseball, I was one of those. And so had the blessing of growing up playing a lot of sports. And again, went to decided to go to our church school in Chicago, and without the intent of playing college ball, just started to focus on a degree and all of that, but was able to play. I'll tell you how good I was, Mike. I played 2 years of college ball. The 3 years immediately after I stopped playing ball, our school won the NCAA Division III national title each of the next 3 years. They just needed to get me out of the way, Mike.
Yeah, I don't believe that for a moment. I would say you helped pave the way and
perhaps
attracted them.
Perhaps not, but perhaps.
We're going to go with that, okay, right, Scott? We're going to go with that side of the story.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's really exciting that you got to do that, and grateful for those experiences, which I know are also treasured as you look back. And I can only look back and have a few memories of things like that, but that's really exciting that you got to do that. When along the way, Scott, did the idea that you would one day go into real estate, when did that happen?
Well, I didn't study real estate in school. I was an accounting major, finance minor. Went to work actually for what was then called the Big Eight accounting firms. I went to work for Ernst & Ernst at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's called EY or Ernst & Young. But went to school for really business and accounting. And first job was downtown in the Loop in Chicago.
Wow.
I was a real special guy, Mike. I was one of 100 rookies at Ernst that summer. Our office was maybe 550 people. And so I was a bit of a number, but in any event, great early experience for me. Getting to go to some of the major hospitals and banks and savings and loan in the upper Midwest and do their audit work. Again, I was just young and starting out, but again, Ernst was a formidable company across the nation, but in particular, the bigger cities like New York and Chicago. But only stayed there about 2 years. Had met this young lady in school at North Park, Jennifer. She and her family lived in Minneapolis, so I thought we were dating, and so I went to spend some time up in Minnesota to try to figure out if we're going to close that deal or not, Mike. And fortunately for me, I'm not so as much for her, but she said yes at some point, and I knew long-term I wanted to be in Florida. My family had moved from Illinois to the Naples area here in Florida, Southwest Florida, while I was in school. And so I told Jennifer, if ultimately this works out with us, I'm probably a Florida person to be closer to family. And so you need to consider that. And so, she said yes. I think moved within 30 days of that.
Well, you weren't just kidding then.
No, sir. It took her a bit as you can understand, if you know me a little bit, it took her a while to say yes, and that's understandable. But when she finally did, I actually had put in my notice with our accounting firm and moved down here, engaged to be married, and we were married 6 months later. But we've been in Orlando ever since. That was 1980.
Mm-hmm. And, the whole Illinois area has changed a lot since then. And, you know, her being from Minnesota then,
right.
It's a big change for both of you. I found that when I lived in the Midwest, almost everybody in the Midwest wanted to be in Orlando. Mm. It's a funny thing. I've talked when they would want a vacation, and then I moved down to Orlando, and I find that people who lived in Orlando, they wanted to vacation in North Carolina.
Right.
That's your experience of watching that, right?
It is, and as you know, Orlando was a bit smaller in 1980. That was only 41 years ago, Mike.
Yeah.
But we found a great home here, and we actually found our church home almost immediately. My wife was calling around for jobs, and this young lady said, "Well, we don't have any positions, but do you have a home church yet here in Orlando?" And my wife said, "Well, no, we've only been here a few weeks." And we're visiting around, and she says, "Well, my husband and I go to First Baptist downtown Orlando. We'd be glad to meet you at the front door, and we could sit together." And we thought that was...
Wow, very, very outreaching.
Yes. And so we never took her up on it, but we went the next Sunday and have been at First Baptist ever since. We got to meet that young couple within about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And Jennifer was telling her story of how we found First Baptist, and I was on the phone, and I was talking to this young gal, and she thought so much of that her church that she said they'd meet us one Sunday morning, and evidently, and her name was Shelley. And Shelley was the gal standing right behind my wife telling that story. And she said, "I'm that person." And so we got to meet Shelley and her family. And unfortunately, Shelley passed away a few years later from a very rare disease. But we got to know she and their family and got to know and love them. But that's how we got to First Baptist, was this other young couple who loved their church and wanted to tell us about it.
Now, they hadn't made the move yet to 33rd Street at that point.
That's correct.
Yeah, so still downtown. And was Jim Henry the pastor then?
Yes, sir.
That's what I would have thought, yeah.
Right.
Because he was still the pastor there when I moved here.
Okay.
And got to meet Pastor Jimmy on one occasion, I do believe, back in the mid-80s, who was also part, and he's been there a long time.
Yes, sir. Jim Henry had been there all of 2 years when we joined back in 1980, and got to know and love he and Jeanette and, all the staff, and a lot of our friends, of course, are still at First Baptist today.
Mm. His book is amazing, by the way. I don't know if you've seen that or had a chance to read that. It was amazing.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. And what a history that this man has, and what a history your church is continuing to provide for Central Florida. It's really a growing and ever impacting church.
Well, it's a very diverse church today. I think a lot of that is due to our leadership, both with David Youth today and Jim Henry then. I remember sitting down with Jim, Brother Jim, years ago. We had a pregnancy center out on the corner of our campus. Unfortunately, we were in an old former 7-Eleven store out on the corner, trying to make do in small cramped spaces. We had a ministry, a counseling ministry that was in trailers that weren't able to keep them up very well. And so I sat down with Jim one day and I said, "Hey, Jim, several of us families have been getting together and just talking about what can we do for both our pregnancy center and our counseling center. And we'd really like to see if we can't provide a permanent campus for those ministries here on our First Baptist campus." And I said, "Jim, we've been calling ourselves just the prayer group, but we'd like to start putting together some plans. Obviously, you're our lead under shepherd. We want you to be thinking about this and whether you think that's the right thing for our church." Jim loved the idea. Brother Jim loved the idea. And it was, I think, within 6 months or so later, we came back to Jim. We had some plans, wanted him to look and review it, have our trustees look and review them. And he blessed that whole process. And within another 12 to 18 months, we have he had that new facility on our campus. The ministry that our pregnancy center was able to serve doubled within weeks, able to serve so many in our community. And our people that lead both of those ministries have done an awesome job just for many, many years and have just served so many in our community just in an excellent, Christ-loving way.
Mm, that's wonderful. Thank you for your vision. And, you know, I think that really does speak to the role that a member can play. Mm. So often I think a lot of people think that, you know, members aren't necessarily the ones who come up with the ministry direction ideas or the ministry visionary ideas. And that's not true at all, because in your case, you guys got together and God was beginning to stir up. And that's what people need to realize as a member of a church. They can have a significant role in the ministry opportunities of that church.
That's right, Mike. And it, as we all know, the church body are those of us sitting in the congregation, and we all have a role to play. And we all can't preach, we all can't sing, but we've all been gifted, and we're to use those gifts to serve Him in whatever way He's placed us.
I love it. Scott Boyd is my guest, and we're going to be back with Scott coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Have you been considering a new career path? Do you miss that feeling of making a real difference? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando can help you get there. And you can find out more in person on Saturday, May 22nd at 10 a.m. This free event gives you a chance to see all that you can become through Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. PBA's Orlando campus is just off I-4 next to the Mall of Millennia. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO, Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
Having a great time with Scott Boyd. Scott is a leader in the Central Florida area, owning his own company. It's a real estate development company, Boyd, and it is one that bears his name and, more importantly, bears his heart. And it's so great, even during the break, talking about Scott's involvement. As we ended the last segment talking about his involvement in helping really steer the direction of First Baptist's involvement in kind of growing in their counseling center and also a few other ministries that are going on. Obviously, Scott telling the story of how he first came to First Baptist. And I'd like to take a moment about that and kind of go back what we were discussing in the break, the transition of a senior pastor like Jim Henry. When Jim was retiring, you were there, you'd work closely with him, and he's feeling the need to leave as senior pastor. That had to be rough news for people that loved him and knew him as you did.
Well, especially, you know, Jim served for probably 30 years or so at First Baptist, did such a wonderful job, helped us move from downtown Orlando out to 33rd Street, John Young. That was not easy. Just the tradition of the church being downtown, but Jim had that awesome vision, knew that we had outgrown what he saw for First Baptist here in Central Florida. And so Jim guided us through that whole process and did such a great job. And accumulating property that ultimately could house so many ministries, including a well-thought-of Christian school today, the First Academy, that, of course, none of that would have been possible downtown, just the confines of that property. But yes, after such a long tenure, leading First Baptist here in Orlando in Central Florida, being so revered by our community, leading our entire denomination for the 2 years that he was head of the Southern Baptist Convention and leading it in such a great way, to come to an end of a career and yet to help make that transition so smooth was such a blessing for our church community to observe two leaders come to know each other, love each other so well. David, Pastor David, to honor Jim the way that he did during that period. For Brother Jim to show his humility in the handing of the baton, and his agreement with how the church handled it was important to all of us as members, but it was done with grace, humility, and I think likely made it easier for David to assume the role that he has and has served so well.
You know, it really is such a beautiful thing to see, like you said, a passing of the baton. We all know that, and we've all heard the stories, it's not an everyday success story when a church comes down to a passing of the baton or a transition like what that's going through. And I can only imagine the importance that every member of that very large and very influential congregation was feeling. I had him on my program a couple of months ago, and what a joy it was to get to talk to him. And he's still serving the Lord and doing that. But to have a guy named David Youth to come in, you know, in the sports, we were talking about sports. In the sports world, to follow a legendary coach is not an easy thing to do. But in the church world, he did the equivalent of that, coming in to a church that was well-led and well-loved.
That's right. And David has done just an awesome job and led us so well, and has been involved in many aspects of our community. David's not afraid to tackle hard issues. He does it with such grace and finesse and expertise because of his relationship with his Lord, and he just knows how to serve others and to engage others in tough conversations, but does it so well. But yes, he came behind Jim with humility, mm-hmm. and yet with confidence in his ability to do so, because I'm sure from he and his wife's perspective, he and Rachel's perspective, that probably looked pretty daunting, because Jim had been so loved and revered, not only here in Central Florida, but beyond, as we said. And so that just really confirmed to us, with his attitude and his expertise in dealing with the thousands of us that call that our church home, he just did it very well.
Mm. Well, thank God for him, and grateful for all of the friends that we have at First Baptist. Of course, they have their weekly service on our air here at 105 on Sundays. And friends, if you've never heard Pastor David Youth, please listen to this man and tune in, and you'll be blessed. It was a real honor for me this year on Easter to spend Good Friday talking to Pastor David Youth. And it was just the two of us talking over the implications, the importance, what all Good Friday meant. Oh, it was such a marvelous hour for me to be able to spend an hour with David Youth. And I've enjoyed it. It's not the first time or the only time that I'll, Lord willing, have the opportunity to do that. But I'm grateful for your church. Grateful for people like you, sir. We learned in segment one that you were an accountant with Ernst & Young, and when you moved to Florida, you did not take too long in going a whole different direction with your career. Tell us about that.
So I moved to Orlando in 1980. I was engaged to be married. I was studying for my CPA exam at the time. Frankly, Mike, if you can walk and chew gum at the same time, you can generally get a job as an accountant. I was able to land a job right away with the largest accounting firm in Central Florida, which was subsequently acquired by one of the national firms. But I went to work because I was getting married and thought a job would be a good thing to have.
It's a great thing to have, yeah.
And so I accepted a position with them, worked with them for about a year, but when they were interviewing me, I said, I'm looking for a job, new to Orlando, but I want to get in the real estate business. Of course, I had no idea what I was really saying at the time, but, probably 25 years old at the time. And but within a year of being here, I was introduced by a fellow church member at First Baptist to Jim Seneff. Jim owned a company that is now called CNL today. Mm-hmm. And under a previous name when I was hired on with them in 1980, the Centennial Company. But it was Jim and a secretary at the time that he hired me. I wanted to get into the real estate development business. Jim wanted to do the same, and so he hired me and hired this young accounting fella that didn't know a thing about real estate and gave me a chance and worked with Jim for Jim for 8 or 9 years. And we were able to grow the business over that period of time from three of us to about 130 of us. And we got to the point where I was managing people as much as I was managing real estate, and wanted to break off and do something else. But I owe a lot to Jim and his family for giving me a chance to get into the real estate business. And it was a great time in our life.
What was it that drew you to real estate?
Growing up, my father owned a real estate brokerage business. He did a little bit of development himself. This is back in Illinois. And so I was in and around the real estate business, being part of a family that was in the industry, but had never practiced or been involved in the business, but just observing him and his employees over those years, mm-hmm. I'm sure is what drew me to it, Mike.
You know, when you think back to that time, and you said it was in the early 80s when you moved down here, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, that's about what, almost 10 years into post-Disney's arrival to Central Florida. And yet the downtown area, the development of downtown Orlando had really not hit full bloom when you moved here.
That's correct. And we were a little part of that. We acquired some land down along the what we call the 408 there, right at the Roslyn mm-hmm. exit. Where one of our television stations is based, mm-hmm. down
Channel
there,
9.
Channel 9.
Right.
And we did that transaction together. We built a few office buildings ourselves and cut our teeth on some of those types of developments. It was a great experience for us.
Mm. So how quickly into that did you made that decision? You said you found yourself managing people as much as real estate. So you, at one point, was it just a quick launch into your own business when you left with Jim?
It was about 9 years in, about 7 years in, I told Jim that I probably wasn't, I was running the development company, that I wouldn't be long for the business at that point in time. The company was experiencing great success. Jim's a great leader. But I just wanted to do something a little smaller scale and see if I could maybe do something on my own. So, but it took a couple of years to figure mm-hmm. that out, and we started the business right in 1990.
What do you think, as you look back, for people who are maybe thinking the same line of thought, I would like to own my own business, what do you think is the most important singular thing that you have to launch out and do something like that?
Particularly in the real estate business, Mike, there are three primary things that I generally think of. Certainly one is capital, which is not something we had. another is just that entrepreneurial spirit, being able to find something, identify opportunities that perhaps someone else doesn't see. Or maybe you see it a little earlier than others might see it. Mm-hmm. So you need to have that as well. And then where we started our business was with an emphasis on the retail side of the real estate development business. And so relationships in the retail industry. So those relationships, the capital, and the ability to identify opportunities.
I would think a fourth thing would have to be a stick-to-itiveness in the beginning, because I'm sure it doesn't slide very simply in the beginning.
Mike, our projects never go faster than I think they'll go. And so, yes, sir, that is correct.
Yeah, that's right. It's never quite as simple as we think they will be when you're starting off something like that.
But that's right.
If you hang around most of the time and you're in God's will, things work out. Yes, sir. And they did for you, and you began Boyd Development Corporation. And so you mentioned already having downtown projects. Was that your focus region? Was the downtown area?
I really didn't have a focus early on, Mike, but I met people at one of our national drugstore companies, the Walgreen company, early on, and they took a chance on a young guy. They were in shopping centers, the Publix and Winn-Dixie centers, and they had figured out in the Midwest, they're based in Chicago, they figured out that if they would come out of these shopping centers and do these freestanding grocery stores out on the corner, maybe with drive-throughs, that they were doing substantially more business. And so I somehow got a phone number for them, called it, and I'll remember for even years to come, and it's been quite a while. The lady that answered the phone, she said, young man, how did you get this phone number? And frankly, I don't remember how I got the phone number. And I said, but I'm Scott, and I'm from Orlando, and I'm a real estate developer, and I understand that you're going to be building these freestanding corner drugstores in the state of Florida. And she said, well, I'll get you the name and the phone number of the head of real estate, but please don't ever call this phone number again. This is Charlie Walgreen's personal office. And if you agree not to call this number again, I'll get you to the right person. I said, yes, ma'am, I will never call this number again. And that's how we started our relationship. I think we did some 40 or 45 Walgreens stores for them in and around Central Florida, and they were very good to us in getting our business started.
Isn't it funny how a simple thing like a phone call opened up a life direction for your company and got you off and running?
It did. And again, they were very good to us, and they allowed us to do a lot of business and led us to do bigger things with the Publixes and others. But that was really our start in our business, was with their company.
That's wonderful. My guest today is Scott Boyd. He is the leader of Boyd Development Corporation. We'll be back with Scott and his story, and we'll find out about how this thing called the pandemic has impacted his company. Well, that's all when we return. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
I have in the studio with me Scott Boyd from Boyd Development. And, you know, we've heard the story of how this man has gone from being an accountant, and that's a wonderful profession in and of itself. But God put something a little bit different for his ultimate plans for Scott Boyd, and that was to become a real estate developer. But then I almost feel, Scott, that I've got to put another asterisk on that. And yet, all the time you're doing all of these things, you're a man who's seeking God and wanting to do what God wants him to be involved with. And so along with that, you are involved in a local church. You're helping guide that local church ministries, as you have done. And you find yourself in the middle of doing both things, business and the Lord's work. And I think that is such a marvelous thing. You know, the phrase marketplace ministry is one that I think applies to you. And that's something that's in your heart, isn't it?
Well, it is, Mike. And, you know, I firmly believe that the Lord's given us the talents to do what we do. And so we need to be able to find ways to use those gifts to serve others and to serve him. Mike, we all need to be all in, and we can't be on the sidelines. We need to understand what it is that is God has called us to do, and then we need to go in with both feet. That's how we can help change the world and make others aware of who our Lord is. And I think those are the main things that we're called to do. I love doing real estate. I love doing it well. That's what I do in business, but it's these other things that really give our life a lot of fulfillment and joy, and that's why we're really here, I believe.
Mm, I like that. I'm so grateful. There's no satisfaction that can compare with the success of knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. And in the middle of all of that, and I guess you could say, not in spite of that, but along with that, we at times do get hit with some unexpected occurrences like what has happened with COVID. COVID comes in 2020 and no one saw this one coming, or at least I don't believe they did. I certainly didn't. And it made a major impact on just about every business in the world. How has your company been impacted?
Significantly, as you would think. On the retail side, we have dozens and dozens of tenants that had their cheese moved, if you will, their business severely impacted, had to close. Our grocery stores, those kind of tenants were able to remain open, have done extraordinarily well, but we have a lot of family businesses, and so we made it a very... We made a very determined effort, Mike, with our tenants to come alongside them, to meet with them. I would walk the property nearly daily in those early days, ask them how they're doing, what can I do? And it really drew us closer to our tenants and hopefully allowed our tenants to feel as though there's somebody in this with me. It's not an adversarial relationship. They're supporting me, they're doing what they can. And, it's really been a turning point for us with our retail and restaurant tenants, to have that relationship really solidified as opposed to fragmented, which it could have.
Mm-hmm.
But we did our best to not allow that to happen.
And are you seeing signs of maybe the downward impact turning around?
Very much so. Our restaurants are up significantly. We've been blessed here in the state of Florida to be our businesses to be treated a little bit better maybe than mm-hmm. in other states.
Yes.
And so again, whether it's our retailers, our restaurant folks, a lot of our tenants are actually having a hard time finding people. Despite what we read in the papers about higher unemployment, which is a real thing because the businesses that are so significant in our community, being the lodging industry, the yeah. restaurant
yeah.
areas,
hospitality,
and tourism.
Tourism, right.
That's right. No question that's been so severely hurt. But even the parks, the restaurants in the tourism area have picked up dramatically over the last 60 days. This vaccine has been just an awesome thing, as we all know, and folks are starting to come out. But our businesses out there at our Hamlin project out west of town, our 1,000-acre project, are doing much, much better the last mm-hmm. 60, 90 days.
How is that project going? What's the what do you see being the date where that thing will complete?
If I would stop buying land out there, Mike, I could answer that question better, but
it's ongoing.
The Lord's blessed us with opportunities. We just closed on another couple hundred acres. So my wife, every once in a while, Mike asks me, when will you start acting your age, Scott? And I think I need to start listening to her a little bit more, Mike. What do you think?
That's funny. Well, it's an ongoing project then. We'll check in next year and see if you can answer that one any better.
I'll do my best.
Tell us about your involvement with NCF.
NCF is the National Christian Foundation, Mike. It's an organization based out of Atlanta. It's been around for over 30 years. It's one of the top 10 public charities in the country, one of the bigger, better kept secrets. But being the National Christian Foundation, we primarily serve believers. We do a lot of work with families here in Central Florida. I think we have over 500 families that we serve. Tim Seneff is the president of our local affiliate here at NCF. And I'm on the board. But again, we serve hundreds of families. Our givers last year granted out approximately $35 million around Central Florida and around the world. But our job is really to come alongside believers to help them accomplish what they believe God's called them to do in as an effective basis, tax-effective basis as possible. And they have served our family extremely well. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer and I have benefited by NCF for over a decade. And we've had the affiliate here for about that amount of time. And we're just excited for Central Florida, what might happen over the next years to come because of the believers here in Central Florida that are just continuing to become more and more generous each year.
Explain how the organization kind of works at reaching with its funding. And I know there are a lot of people who are behind it. It is a, like you said, it's a place where monies and resources are guided. Explain how that works.
So the National Christian is what's called a donor-advised fund. So, Mike, if our family is a donor, we're the ones that advise NCF where we want to give the money. So NCF is Switzerland, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
They want to accommodate as many of our grant requests, and we've, frankly, over about a decade, we've never had a request denied by NCF, but we're the donor, so we're the ones that advise, the Donor Advised Fund, we're the ones that advise where we'd like a gift to go, First Baptist Church, the First Academy, Lift Orlando, wherever we might give. And so we make a grant request to NCF, and it's there are tens of thousands of pre-approved, already approved recipients, qualified 501c3s. And so generally speaking, most of our gifts are reoccurring gifts. And so we make a request. We can do it all online. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I most appreciate being in the real estate business, what NCF does is to help facilitate, NCF helps facilitate what we call non-liquid gifts. I'm able to give parts of my ownership in our real estate to the National Christian Foundation. And so any cash flow that comes into that asset, let's say I give 20% of my ownership in something. So 20% of whatever I would have otherwise earned then goes directly to NCF and goes into our giving account, and we can grant from those funds.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we give land or an interest in land, maybe I give 50% ownership in a piece of property that we own. Again, whenever we sell those proceeds, and let's just say we sold it for a dollar, 50 cents on that dollar, had we granted it, would go to NCF into our fund. So again, whether it's $100,000 or $1 million, whatever the amount might be, if we've granted or gifted 50% or whatever percentage makes sense for each family. So the ability to give non-liquid gifts is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And is a great way for believers who've been blessed with assets. And it can be myriads of types of assets. It can be fine art. It can be, I have a friend that gave a helicopter about 5 years ago. I have friends that give interests in business. Our family was owed some money years ago, and instead of us receiving those funds, I gave that note to the National Christian Foundation. And when that note was paid off over the next several years, all that money went to NCF, and then we granted those monies out to the various charities that we love and support.
And basically, NCF then is just a funnel then for all of those funds to go through and gifts to be given, and that supports all of the varied ministries that you're talking about.
And our givers, I think it's generally 60 to 70% of the funds that are granted out by our Central Florida families generally stay in Central Florida. Certainly a lot of great things going on around the world that our givers give to as well. But it's just been great for our Central Florida ministries to have an entity, a group like NCF serving givers.
Mm, thank you for that. In the time we have remaining, tell us about what you're most excited about as you look forward in 2021.
We have a lot of great things going on in the business. We have a lot of great things going on in our family. Mike, we have our fourth grandchild we're expecting here.
That's wonderful.
In June. As far as ministry, really excited about what Lift Orlando does in our community. with housing, with businesses, in education, in healthcare. There are so many great things that our board has directed our staff to work on, and those of us as board members to work on in the Lift Orlando community. And my personal passion is on the education side of what Lift does, Mike, and to be able to help these young kids, these children from really kindergarten up through eighth grade is who we primarily serve right now, to see how much growth they have made, to being several years behind grade level, to be at grade level. And that's where we are today with our students, with this, with the Legends Charter School. But our goal is to be the best school in the community, not just middle of the pack, but our families, our students have come so far already. It's just a blessing to see.
How can people get involved with Lift?
Well, Eddie Moriton is our executive director, and there are about a dozen of us board members. Go to our website, Lift Orlando. Eddie's contact would be there. We have a great staff, very committed staff, very much on mission. Our staff has done more in 5 years than I probably would have guessed we'd have done in 10 years. There's there's been about $100 million of development between the housing, the senior housing, the Boys and Girls Club, the health and wellness, the early education facility that just opened this past year to help even students, even young people, not even in kindergarten level, but helping them to get ready for school, getting them reading even before they're 5 years of age. It's been a great work. I'm honored to be involved with them.
Well, we are honored to have had you on The Shepherd today. Thank you so much, Scott Boyd, for being with me today and telling us the story, which is amazingly diverse in terms of your background and finding what God's called you to do, but you're doing it, and we thank you. You're living the life that I believe God's called us, and our expressions of that, every individual's, will take on the role that God's called them to do, but you're doing what God's called you to do, and I thank you for that.
Well, thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, Mike.
And friends, thank you for being with us as well. We'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.